How's it going, everybody? It's Marcus here. You're listening to the Good E-Reader radio show. The date is November 30th, Tuesday, early morning, 2010. Now, there's been a lot of exciting news that's happened in the e-reader and tablet world over the course of about the last week since we've talked to you last. The song you just listened to was Stereolab, and it was off their 2001 seminal album, Cobra and the Phases Group Play Voltage. They're a French band. They were really good back in the day. It's more or less a nostalgic, rainy day here today. So we wanted to kick things off and get to the most exciting news, or maybe not so exciting. Actually, it's kind of sad. The Amazon Kindle 3 Wi-Fi and the 3G version are both sold out. So Amazon, their website, estimates 5 to 7 weeks for new orders for shipping. So pretty well, you'll get them after the new year. You're looking at early January. If you order it, say, right now off of Amazon, that they'll actually ship them. Now, our retail partners, Shop E-Readers, they have a few Kindles left, so you can, if you're looking for a Kindle fix, you can place your order through them. Notion Inc. has released website and brand new details regarding their Notion Inc. Atom. Basically, some new features it's going to have. It's going to have a GPS navigation system. It'll have a swivel camera, so the camera will actually be able to turn in different directions. There's also a bunch of painting and photo editing that'll go on the final version of the Atom. Now, two kind of exciting things. In the last few weeks, we've managed to get our hands on the Samsung Galaxy Tab and the Barnes & Noble Nook Color. Now, Barnes & Noble Nook Color, it's pretty well beyond anything that we've seen up until this point as far as color e-readers go. It's color LCD, and other competing e-readers on the market is the Penn Digital Novel and Penn Digital's newest e-reader that they just came out, the Sharper Image, Literati, and there's a bunch of sort of no-name brand LCD tablets that are doubled as e-readers. But as far as e-readers go, and you know, these type of devices being billed as it, we really liked it. We did a whole bunch of video reviews, a big written review, and I'm just going to give you a short story here on the Good E-Reader Radio Show. We really like it how it switches between landscape and portrait mode. You can pretty well do business with Barnes & Noble, but it does allow you to sideload. And we actually just did a bunch of videos teaching you how to pretty well load ebooks right onto your e-reader. So if you're buying your ebooks, if you've had a previous e-reader in the past, so if, say, you had a Kobo e-reader, or you had, you know, maybe an e-reader that just read EPUB books, well, you're in luck. You can load them in via Adobe Digital Editions with any store-bought content that has DRM or digital rights management attached to it. And if you, say, just download books from the internet through various websites and such, you can load them basically just via Window Explorer. Or if the book that you downloaded didn't have cover art, or maybe didn't have the author's name spelled right, or maybe the ISBN number wasn't there and you want to add it at all, we showed you how to do it via Calibre, which is pretty well one of the most premier ebook editing software packages that really exists. And we've played with a lot of them. Calibre pretty well is compatible with almost every e-reader in the world. And they have a lot of self-management tools for you to be able to organize your e-reader library a lot more effective. So we showed you how to use Calibre to do that. And if you've never used Calibre before, check out some of the videos that we made on our video channel. And they pretty well tell you exactly how to, you know, use Calibre and how to use all of the advanced functions, such as the ones that I've just mentioned. But the Barnes & Noble Nook Color is a really good e-reader. It is LCD, so it's not e-ink, which, if you look at major e-ink brands, the Nook Wi-Fi and the Nook 3G, or the Amazon Kindle line of e-readers, that's e-ink, as long as, same with a Sony as well. Now, modern-day e-readers are using a Pearl type of of screen. So you'll notice that, say, with the newer Kindles that just came out, or the newer Sonys that came out, utilizing the new Pearl screen, response time is faster, page turns are faster. You can display more levels of grayscale, and just the screen allows for a lot more stable e-reading use. Now, if you're in the market for a color e-reader for the holidays, we really can't get behind the Barnes & Noble Nook Color enough. And there was some news today about how, since the Barnes & Noble Nook Color is an e-reader, but because it's running the Android operating system, the Nook Color as it is a really nice graphical user interface that Barnes & Noble has put together. And it allows you to do, play games, to do this and that, but because it's an Android operating system, it doesn't allow users to, say, download a YouTube app, or to have, alternatives to the Pandora app, or even Android games. So there's this forum called the XDA Developers, and with this forum, they've put together, or they have rooted, the Barnes & Noble Nook Color to work as a tablet. So it allows you to load in Android applications. Now, rooting it's a difficult process. You need a dedicated Linux box in order to use it properly. And you do have to have somewhat of a technical background to do it. It isn't exactly as loading one file and all of a sudden you can do all these amazing things with your Barnes & Noble Nook Color. But no, it requires a big process. On the front cover of our blog at goodyreader.com/blog, we actually have links that take you to tutorials that tell you step by step how to root your Nook Color. But before you do it, know that it does void your warranty, and if you bust it or so, Barnes & Noble's not going to accept it and give you it. So we recommend just do it if you have an extra $250 to burn. If you mess up your e-reader, that you can just go buy another one. You can try that, but you have to do it via the micro SD card. So if you want to do it, that you have to get a micro SD card, a gig or more. But rooting your device will be able to allow you to install the Android Market, to install YouTube, Gmail apps, or even e-reader apps such as the Kindle Reader app for Android and the Kobo e-reader app for Android and a lot more. So if you have a Kindle and say you want to spend $250 to get yourself a full-color touchscreen e-reader, know that you can install the Kindle app on there and you can read all of your bought Kindle apps as well. So as far as, if you look at the price differentiation between the Barnes & Noble Nook Color and the Samsung Galaxy Tab, there's a big gulf. It's about $250 US for the Barnes & Noble Nook Color, and it's about $600 or so just for the device for the Samsung Galaxy Tab. And people have said, who have rooted the device and have been playing around, they say Barnes & Noble Nook Color is pretty well on par, with the Samsung Galaxy Tab as far as internet browsing, and a whole lot of other things. And incidentally, you don't have to root your device to do internet browsing, but word has it that you can even get Flash on here with the rooting method. So if you want to take a look at it and you want to get an alternative web browser such as Dolphin and things like that, you can take a look at the front page article on our blog, and it takes you to a lot of great resource links. We're not going to tell you how to root a device, but we do have the solutions for it via other publications that you can click on, so definitely check that out. But as far as the long story short, our favorite e-reader that we've played around with in about the last week or so has been the Barnes & Noble Nook Color. A lot of e-ink purists may say that LCD e-readers aren't true e-readers. It just goes to a matter of preference. We grow up these days with LCD screens for computers, plasma and LCD screens for TV. All of our smartphones have LCD screens. Even, calculators and a lot of our devices that we've interacted with, almost our whole lives has been LCD screen based. So switching to an LCD based e-reader is an easy adjustment, whereas people that may have been using e-ink exclusively for the last 5 to 7 years, they may find that it's a hard transition to go from e-ink, which is really easy on the eyes, under well-lit circumstances to switch to an e-reader, they might find themselves after an hour or two of reading that they start to pinch their eyes and they're not really getting a whole lot of, you know, you're getting a computer burn on your eyes. And so it's a valid argument. There's virtues of both e-ink and there's virtues of LCD screens. One of the drawbacks that a lot of people say is LCD-based e-readers such as, you know, the Barnes & Noble of Color, Sharper Image Literati, the Pan Digital Novel, is that it's easy to get distracted from reading your book to do web browsing. And the same case can be made about using the Galaxy Tab or the iPad as an e-reader, is that when you're reading, it's sort of hard to get in that reading zone because you may get a game notification that some coins just came in, or, you know, if you're playing Farmville, that your crops are ready, so you have to go check that out, or you may have an email that pops up. So using more of like an LCD-based e-reader, it's easy to get distracted through e-ink versions, which pretty well were designed just to be reading devices. So enough ranting about that. We've just posted our fiction ebook releases for December 2010. So if you're into, you know, newest books by James Patterson, such as The Witch and Wizard, The Gift, or if you're looking for, you know, the new Shara Shepherd book, the new Christine Feehan book, Maya Banks, Robin Carr, all these great novelists that a lot of people are excited about. We've put together a preview list that gives you, you know, the release date for December, as well as a short summary of the book. So you can check out the front page of our blog about that. Apple has released their iPad 4.2 and 4.21 update, and this gives you a lot of great features on your iPad. It allows you to have a new gaming community that Apple put up. So you guys might be aware that Apple released Ping a few months ago, which was you know, their answer to Last.fm and other social media sites that allow you to share and talk about music, exchange music. So Ping did that, and on the heads of Ping they put together this gaming center, and this new gaming center really allows you to play your games but also have mini games that you play with back and forth, and it allows games to be multiplayer. So they've developed a sort of their equivalent of the Xbox Live or PlayStation Network and things like that. So check that out if you have an Apple iPad and you want to do the upgrade via iTunes, which is free. There's also a lot of other features. Things like multitasking. You can have Pandora or other apps running in the background playing music, as long as those apps are 4.2 compatible. You can have music running in the background when you're checking your email or when you're browsing the internet. They've also introduced a unified email inbox feature. So this was a long time in coming, where before the iPad, if you had email come in, you had to look, and if you had more than one email address on your iPad, you had to go and manually search and, oh, read an email here, back, enter this email box, read this. Now it's unified, so any email address you have on your iPad, it all goes to one general inbox. So that's very handy if you're using your iPad to check a lot of emails. Of course, I get a lot of emails from listeners, from readers on the Goody Reader forum, so it's essential that I get emails and I could respond to them when I'm on the go with my iPad. They also have done a new feature called AirPlay, which allows you to be pretty well do things. If you have an Apple TV subscription and a box, it allows you to stream media from your iPad right to your TV. They also have a thing called AirPrint, which allows you to print off of your iPad to wireless printers that have that sort of, you know, the Apple seal of approval on that. HP is doing 11 models, and a bunch of other, you know, new printers are coming out for that. So a lot of cool features. There's probably more than I really kind of want to mention, but we do have a little bit of a post on that. But, you know, if you have an iPad, just install it and check it out for yourself. There's a lot of kind of cool things. The one sort of drawback on this is the orientation button, and this is kind of, it's kind of got me, and I know a lot of people who have iPads too, it kind of has them all up in arms, so to speak, where above, if you have an iPad, right above your volume buttons, sort of the toggle volume up and down, it has an orientation button. So you would click on that button and then you would lock your screen orientation into portrait or in landscape mode. Now, what they have done in the new update is they have done it so that button no longer does orientation mode, but it's your mute button. And if you've installed the Apple 4.2 or the Apple 4.2.1 update, if you had orientation locked when you installed it, when you start using your device, all of a sudden everything is muted and everyone's, what's going on? My keyboard's not making noises anymore. None of my game's background sounds are work. Well, it's because the orientation button has now the mute button, and having a volume button right beside a mute button is tremendously redundant. You know what I mean? Having two volume controls right next to each other, it's totally irrelevant, because if you double click the home button on the iPad, you can just mute it that way. I know people that hardly ever mute their iPads. They just hold their hands down on the volume button and just turn everything down if they want to turn it down. But I know everybody locks their orientation many times in a day, whether you're watching a video, whether you're reading a book, or you have, you know, a personal preference of holding in portrait mode when you're writing emails or surfing the web. And, you know, people are hitting those orientation buttons a lot on a day-by-day basis. So I don't understand why Apple would just do a 360 and just make that button something else, or just allow the user to be able to customize that button to whatever that they wanted to do, whether pressing it locked orientation, muted it, launched your email, took it out of out of sleep mode, or just doing something, right? Allow the user to have a little bit more control. But no, they just did one fell swoop, made the orientation button, which everyone got to use, you know, from day one of having an iPad back in April, and then just in one fell swoop make it totally something else. So a lot of people are pretty upset about it. We've put a link to an Apple customer feedback form that everyone's encouraged to send an email and say, in the 4.3 update, make the mute button orientation again. So who knows if they'll do it or not? We're hoping so. So we mentioned about the Samsung Galaxy Tab at the beginning of the show. We're going to play a little bit of a song here, and we want to tell you our thoughts and my personal take on the Samsung Galaxy Tab.
Fresh Kid Z, Fresh Kid C,
yes, sir.
Fresh Kid P, Fresh Kid T.
Oh yeah, we back.
Oh, and Zap Phone, by the way.
Yeah, Jones.
Yeah.
Chitty Bang, and we pretty much amazing.
Can we hear your new song, please?
I got you.
Hey yo, I once was a kid, all I had was a dream. More money, more problems, when I get it, I'ma pile it up. Now I'm dope, want the bread, we get toast, so fresh how we flow, everybody get this down,
hey,
from
yo,
us.
I once was a kid with the other little kids, now I'm ripping up shows and them fans going wild with us. Tell mommy I'm sorry, this life is a party. Remember you was a kid, reminisce, days of the innocence. Now it's Chitty Bang, Google me the images. Follow me, I'm the leader. And when I park cars, I don't pay for the meter. I remember I was younger as a kid, it was the best. I used to touch on all the pretty girls in recess. I'm at my peak, yes, I won't leave yet. Cereal style, cereal aisle, I need checks. I can make these rappers run like a hard drill. Rock band, show you how the guitar feel. And I could care less how y'all feel. I got a flow to make a bitch do a cartwheel. This is that good, just pump it and relax, bro. And you could get it free, don't worry about the tax, though. And Zap Fool, thank you for the crack. But I play a Ron Burgundy, I anchor on the track.
Hey,
like
yo, I once was a kid, all I had was a dream. More money, more problems, when I get it, I'ma pile it up. Now I'm dope, want the bread, we get toast, so fresh how we flow, everybody get this down, hey, from yo, us. I once was a kid with the other little kids, now I'm ripping up shows and them fans going wild with us. Tell mommy I'm sorry, this life is a party, I'm never growing up.
Can I please get a little bit of knowledge? Somebody tell Roth that I don't love college, cause the real world's kinda like real world, and it's drama, so you are Svetlana, and I'm just a rhymer, swimming in the water, trying to dodge the piranha, and fly to Bahamas, pretty little mama, chitty in the spot, where you at, pearl lady, show me what you got, they say, why you rapping for the kids for, I say my clothes come fitted, the lint store, this summer you could catch me on a big tour,
was a kid, all I had was a dream. More money, more problems, when I get it, I'ma pile it up. Now I'm dope, want the bread, we can toast. So fresh, how we flow, everybody get this down from us. Once was a kid with the other little kids. Now I'm ripping up shows and the fans going wild with us. Tell mommy I'm sorry, this life is a party, I'm never growing up. Once was a kid, all I had was a dream. More money, more problems, when I get it, I'ma pile it up. Now I'm dope, want the bread, we can toast. So fresh, how we flow, everybody get this down from us. Once was a kid with the other little kids. Now I'm ripping up shows and the fans going wild with us. Tell mommy I'm sorry, this life is a party, I'm never growing up.
Alright guys, we're back at the Good E-Reader Radio Show. The track that you just heard of was an artist called Chitty Bang, and the song was Opposite of Adults, which is... These guys are known for a lot of mixtapes, and they're more or less have been around for a little while, but most people consider that the album that just put out was more or less like their big release, so they're getting a lot of airplay. We kind of just dig the song, personally. Now, we mentioned before the break that we were going to talk about Samsung Galaxy Tab. As you guys may or may not know, it's the new Android 2.2 Froyo device that just came out. It's viewed as the one true competitor to the Apple iPad, and we've had this device, and we've had a lot of other devices in our hands, like the Ogden Gentouch, a lot of Chinese models. We really think that the Android offering from Samsung in the Tab really puts a lot of these to shame. And it does Flash, which is the huge benefit of being able to get a full multimedia internet experience. We pretty well compared a lot of the features between the Galaxy Tab and the iPad. If you're familiar with the iPad features, pretty well the Samsung Galaxy Tab are exactly the same. But this tab is a little bit smaller. It's 7 inches, so it does fit in your back jeans pocket. It's very portable. It weighs next to nothing. You get pretty good resolution, 1024 by about 600. The same 1 gigahertz chip, except these guys are using a Cortex A8. And you have a roughly about 16 gigabytes of storage, but you can increase it to 32 via a micro SD card. It has 2 cameras, a front-facing and a rear-facing one. You can do, you know, Bluetooth, and if you root the device like you can the Samsung or the Barnes & Noble Note Color, you can do video calling and unlock all of the UK features that allow you to use your Galaxy Tab as a phone. In the UK, you can do that, and in Europe, you can do that, but in North America, just because of carrier agreements, they're not allowing you to use the Galaxy Tab as a phone. But if you root it, you of course can. For internet capabilities, it does Wi-Fi and 3G with most companies, and the Galaxy Tab was one of the true worldwide pushes. When the iPad first came out for the few months, it was only available in the US, and it was only available with AT&T. And, you know, it took roughly about 2.5 months or 3 months to even get it to Canada, and then to get it to the UK and a lot of, you know, the meccas of Europe, of Australia, in Asia, and so on. Whereas with the Samsung Galaxy Tab, right away, you know, almost from day one, they released it everywhere. So, and they have more carrier agreements, which is also enticing. If you don't want to do business with AT&T, you can do it with Verizon or Sprint. In Canada, you can go with Rogers or Bell. In Australia, you have many options as well. And across the rest of the world, almost every major phone carrier is subsidizing the cost of this. So you can just buy the device generally in Canada and the US for about $600. And then various deductions the more or longer plan you sign up with, but even the deductions across North America and Canada, you know, we've added it all up, it comes to roughly about maybe $60 that you save going for a 3-year contract. So we much more encourage people to just buy the device straight up, and then, you know, once you stop using it, either sell it or, you know, you can switch to different carriers based on better data plans, and there's really no cancellation fees or anything like that. We really like some of the software that came with this. As far as the overall graphical user interface. It looks really good. It features TouchWiz, where if you have the Samsung Galaxy S series of phones, this should be familiar to you. Basically, it's this great skin that Samsung put on the Android operating system that allows everything to scroll up pretty quickly, to tap on things, whether it's the keyboard or touch icons or load things up. Everything's super, super quick. There's a few things that... Okay, so one of the great things about the Samsung Galaxy Tab is how Samsung just didn't rely on the Google Android market for its content. We've reviewed tablets like the Ogden Gen Touch and things like that, and companies like that strictly rely on the Google Android market. Even with the newer tablets that are hitting, you know, the stores at Best Buy and Kmart, you know, the cheaper ones like the Colby and things like that, you know, they rely on the Google Android market for all the content. Whereas with Samsung, you know, they had Kobo build up the Reader's Hub, which was a custom e-book store for the Samsung Galaxy Tab. They've put together relationships, so, you know, they have a dedicated newspaper app where you do business with another company to get newspapers. There's a magazine app, so already, you know, Samsung and these other companies that they're doing partnerships with for these exclusive apps allows you to, right out of the box, have access to a ton of content. For music, they did the Music Hub, which really allows you to download song by song, similar to iTunes, for about $1.99 a song, or you can download the entire album. You can listen to 30-second sound clips of any song or any album that you want, and the Music Hub is done by 7 Digital, so you need to create an account with them, have a valid credit card, etc. So that's one of sort of almost like the drawbacks of the Samsung Galaxy Tab, as well as the pro, is that almost everybody that you want to do business with, you have to have your own account with them. If you want to buy ebooks, you need a Kobo account. If you want to read magazines, you need an account with that company. If you want newspaper subscriptions, you have to do business with yet another company. If you wanted to download tracks off the Music Hub, okay, you have to do business now with 7 Digital. So between those four or five things, you need like five or six different accounts for it. So it becomes overwhelming, but if you don't mind setting up all the accounts or, you know, doing business with other companies in the Android market, you have the freedom to do that. The device itself comes preloaded with a ton of other applications other than just the Music Hub and the Reader's Hub, web browser, Gmail, Latitude, YouTube, gallery, videos, a ton of different things. So you can even make it into a digital picture frame if you want. If you want my opinion, I really like it. There is some bugs with some of the Android apps where if you, say, have the Galaxy Tab locked into landscape mode and you're browsing the internet, you're reading a bunch of apps, and all of a sudden you load up an app and it goes to portrait mode and you're still in landscape mode and you're like, hey, what's going on? Apparently a lot of these Android apps just don't have the Samsung Galaxy Tab API, or they're, you know, they haven't customized the Android apps on the market to accommodate the Samsung Galaxy Tab because it's 7 inches, so it's way bigger than a lot of smartphones. And so far, Google Android has become really popular on the smartphone segment. So, you know, between 3 and 5 inches is really what they're used to for making games and making apps to display well. But because the Galaxy Tab is significantly bigger, and it does do it between landscape and portrait mode, which a lot of phones don't let you do, so in order to get the most out of applications, the developers themselves have to add the Samsung Galaxy Tab as far as an accepted device. So it just came out, you know, roughly less than a few weeks ago, so hey, you know, these guys, you know, can't expect it to be overhauling all their apps overnight, but let's just hope, you know, in time you'll be able to, if you want to do everything under landscape mode, you can. If you want to do everything under portrait mode, that you can. So that's the one thing that I consider a drawback in my own opinion, but the pros outweigh the cons. If you're looking for a tablet computer for Christmas or the holiday season this year, get the Samsung Galaxy Tab. It is quite expensive as far as devices go. You're looking at minimum, you know, around between $550 and $600 for it. So it's not for the faint of heart or the light of wallet, But if you have, you know, if you're flush with cash, if you're a hard worker and, you know, you want to treat yourself to a cool device and maybe you haven't bought the iPad, try this out. It's a full multimedia device. We combated the iPad and a Samsung Galaxy Tab head-to-head, and the Galaxy Tab pretty well came out ahead in almost every test that we did. So it is a solid device, and it really puts a lot of the more budget Android tablets, you know, the ones that you see on in Kmart and places like that, for $100 or $200 or $300, it absolutely destroys that in terms of hardware, software, and pretty well a great user community, you know, behind it. So Samsung Galaxy Tab, definitely it's our recommended tablet going into the holiday season. If you're looking for a color Android e-reader, we can't get enough of the Barnes & Noble No Color. And if you're looking for an e-ink e-reader for the holidays, if you can get your hands on it, the new Hanban chat e-reader that's actually color e-ink looks really good. If you can maybe find one on eBay, that'll be a good steal of a deal. It's really only available in China right now, and it basically has just come out. So if you feel like tapping into the gray market, you can get your hands on it. As far as easily accessible e-readers go, if you can get it, Amazon Kindle 3G or Wi-Fi, Barnes & Noble Nook 3G or Wi-Fi, you're looking at prices ranging from $130 to about $189 for either of these devices. So if you're lucky enough to find a Kindle, get it. Otherwise, if you live in the U.S., if you live in Canada or abroad, the Barnes & Noble Nook is also a good investment, but there is a drawback that you do, if you live outside the U.S., for one, Barnes & Noble doesn't ship outside of the U.S., and if you live outside the U.S. and register your device in the country that you live in, you can't actually buy books on the Barnes & Noble Nook, the e-ink version or the Nook Color. So what you really have to do is not necessarily something shady, but you have to, you know, falsify your address in order to have it as a U.S.-based address. But Barnes & Noble will never actually send you anything tangible. They'll just send you updates on your purchases to your email account. So if you live in Canada and Australia or places like that, you can register your device as a US-based address, use your local credit card, you know, your name and phone number and email address and things like that, and you could purchase books and do things like that. So if you don't mind jumping through a few hoops, the Barnes & Noble Nook is accessible. And I know our retail partner Shop eReader has both the Nook Color, Nook 3G, and Nook Wi-Fi in stock. So because Barnes & Noble doesn't ship outside of the United States, pretty well Shop eReaders is your only bet to buy them, whether you want to just buy one or if you're looking to buy a few to give to family members or gifts or things like that. So really, with this edition of the Good eReader Radio Show, we just wanted to give you news on the Barnes & Noble Nook Color, the iPad updates, the Kindle situation in the respect that you can't buy them off of Amazon anymore, or you can, but it'll be a 7 to 8 week delay, as well as all the other news that we covered. So if you, again, if you're interested in e-reader news, you can't really beat the Good e-reader blog. Daily we do videos, podcasts, articles. We have a ton of different authors who write for us, and unlike a lot of other sites that just talk about e-readers, we get our hands on every major one that comes out. So a lot of times we don't get our hands on the obscure Chinese models or the obscure European models, but any major or minor release in North America, whether it's tablets or e-readers, we get our hands on. We make a ton of videos. We give you guys all the info that you want to know. We know some people are you know, more prone to reading. Some people just like watching videos, and some people just like listening to myself, Marcus, talk and rant and rave about all sorts of e-reader and tech-related issues. So we pretty well cover the whole spectrum of e-readers and tablets, as well as, of course, digital publishing, e-paper, as well as a lot of other news that's related to e-readers and tablets. So if you're looking to buy one and you have not bought one before, or if you're just looking to upgrade your current model, pay attention to our blog, goodereader.com/blog, for all of your latest news. If you feel like talking to a community of like-minded e-reader aficionados, tablet fiends, or any of the above, check out our Good E-Reader forum. We're pretty well exclusively now just tech support and news, as well as firmwares, guides, tutorials, all that sorts of things. So if you want to know if a new firmware update's available for your e-reader, you can get the news first on our Good E-Reader forum, as well as links to download and instructions on it. So again, we covered pretty well everything to do with this sort of stuff. So for Good E-Reader Radio Show, this is Marcus, and everybody take it easy.